Today's daf from Masechet Erevin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Lav Tzadi, and we're holding in the middle of a final summary of the various issues that have concerned us in the definition of what Rishus is considered to be what. And this perek basically forces us to confront all of the various elements that are going to be central in understanding what the nature of a specific Rishus is. So we're going to be talking about the questions of ownership, questions of residence, question of residential use, or other type of usages, geometric properties we spoke about, the nature of the privacy or the openness of the particular rishus, the types of the separations that we're talking about, the rishus, is what type of mechitzas we're talking about, and also how strict are the sets of classifications that are going to affect the Rishuyas. And we had one additional factor which was very important, and that was understanding Rabbi Meir's Gezerah about the simple problem of confusing the different types of Rishuyas for being allowed to carry into a tail in Rishus HaRabim, which leads to all kinds of additional chumras. So we were talking about, first, we were talking about things sort of very simple, just a question in the Mishnah about how we should look at the Gagot Ha'ir. So we started off with one major machlokas. How do we view the nature of a building that's got various apartments underneath it, and it has a single roof on top? And it turned out that Rabbi Meir said, it's all the same. It doesn't matter who lives downstairs. The nature of a roof is a roof is a roof. And it's not considered to be something that is broken up into diurin, the way that we would normally require in an Eruv, simply because of the fact that it's not the kind of thing that is used in a real living manner. It's not like a house that people will actually live in. It's used, you know, every once in a while, more like a chotzer. And we'll see that actually Rabbi Meir views a roof as a chotzer. And of course, the only difference according to Rabbi Meir is this new factor, which is the question of that gezerah of the tell. But let's forget about that for a moment. Let's talk about the roofs. The Chachomim say that every single roof is an extension in terms of the diurin of whoever lives underneath it. And therefore, if you need an Erev in the houses that are apartment homes beneath that roof, then you're going to need an Erev on top of the roof. And then we had the most Mikula Shita, which according to Rabbi Shimon is that we don't really make any type of distinction between the sets of Rishuyos that are not standard Rishus HaYochids, but that the Rabbanan consider to be a semi-Rishus HaYochid. And therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, I don't care how you classify it. You can call it a roof, you can call it a chotzer, you can call it a backyard, a karfaf, you can call it, if you want an achsadra, you can call it a mavui. Whatever the heck you call it, it's all the same. The only problem that we would have is taking something out from a private rishus, which is a house, into any of these things. But if something was in, before Shabbos, was in one of these semi-rishus hayochids that are really rishus hayochid d'oraisa, but the drabanan turned into a semi-rishus hayochid, then we pay no attention to any problems of carrying from one to the other. That's the simple statement of things as they are in the Mishnah. Now, we ran into a secondary machlokas of Rav and Shmuel. Just want to bring you up to speed again, because it's been a whole Shabbos since we spoke about this. We ran into a secondary machlokas of Rav and Shmuel about what the din is on, in terms of the actual roof itself. Can you carry on the roof, or do we say that since, according to the Chachomim, according to Rabbi Meir, is not a problem, because the roof, after all, it's all one rishus. The only problem you might run into, according to Rabbi Meir, is if it's so big that it's more than Beit Satayim. We're not entertaining that problem right now. But according to the Chachomim, we do have a problem, because according to the Chachomim, we've got different rishuyas on the roof that are based on who's living downstairs. And therefore, each one of those roofs, because of the fact that it doesn't have a mechitza between it and the next roof, is actually porutz bimlo'o. It's completely open to rishus, which is usher to it. And because of that, Rav says, so you can't carry on it, because you're never allowed to carry in an area that is poritz to an area that's aser, you can only carry arba amot, because each one is therefore now becomes aser because of the other one. Whereas Shmuel says you are. That led us, you're allowed to carry, and that led us to an understanding that there's a further machlokas over here that has to do not with diurin. We're talking about, we've already decided, we're talking about according to Chachamim, there are diurin. Okay, so what are we talking about? A separate issue. Are there mechitzot that are separating these various gagot? I don't see any mechitzot. However, the question is whether we can use the property of god asik to lift up the mechitzas that are downstairs, upstairs. Now, we always say god asik, because otherwise the very idea of having a rishus hayochid where it's on top of something instead of being surrounded by something, like, for instance, the basketball situation that we spoke about, the traskal, or a tail in rishus harabim, or a amud rishus harabim. These things don't have mechitzas. The only thing that gives them the mechitza is the fact that we're utilizing these sides to be a mechitza by extending the sides upwards. That is called good asik. So it turns out that the machlokas between Shmuel in this situation and Rav as to whether it is porotz or not is the question about whether the mechitzas that are hidden under the roof come up and separate the various rishuyas on the top of the roof. In the event that the mechitzot are actually visible, how would they be visible? Let's say they're the mechitzot on the outside of the house, and the roof doesn't extend over them. So when you walk up to the edge of the house, you're clearly aware of the fact that there are mechitzas right going down. Then everybody agrees that we certainly do have a mechitza that's surrounding the area. The only problem is, if you're talking about mechitzas that are covered by the roof, is that considered to be a mechitza? That was an additional machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. According to Rav, we do not view those as mechitzas, and according to Shmuel, we do view them as mechitzas. So let us start today on the beginning of our sugya over here on Daf Tzadi Amud Aleph, and that's on the first line, the top line. So we were talking about a case where, assuming that according to Rav, that you've got a porots, one got a few gagin next to each other, they're all considered to be prutzot into a mokum that's usher. Therefore, according to him, you're not allowed to carry. So now Rami Bar Chama asks a rather strange question. We said, according to Rav, that the way to understand everyone being rishus bifnei atzmo, the idea is it's a rishus bifnei atzmo that you're allowed to carry on it less than arba amas. Yeah. But you're not allowed to carry, let's say, two amas on one and carry it over to two amas on the other. That's what we mean by rishus bifnei atzmo. So Rami Bar Chama wanted to know, what would be the din about carrying off of a roof onto a amud? So you've got this pillar, which what? It's not very clear, but the standard pillar is 10 amas high, 4x4, and therefore we're assuming that it's rishus hayachid. And therefore, because we are assuming it's a rishus hayachid, Rabba says, what kind of dumb question is that? So I don't understand what he's asking. Michael Mibaili, I don't understand. He has set up a situation where we're talking about a Carmelite and a rishus hayachid. So what's he asking? You're allowed to carry from a Carmelite to rishus hayachid? Of course you're not allowed to carry from a Carmelite to rishus hayachid. So like, what kind of weird question is this? Now, the truth is, it's not as weird as it looks, because he didn't say what kind of amud we're talking about, right? I mean, who's to say that the amud that we're talking about is specifically an amud which is 10 tefachim high and 4x4? I mean, there's a couple of possibilities here. Let me register a few of them that are raised by some of the Rishonim and some of the Achronim. I mean, couldn't we be talking about an amud that is actually close to the roof? And if it's close to the roof, so then it would be porotz. If it's within arba tvachim of the roof, so then it would be porotz to the roof, right? So then it should get the din of a carmelis. So now his question would be, okay, it's all very nice to say that the roof is porotz to an area that's usser, but that's because every roof is considered to be owned by somebody else. A pillar, and when I say owned, I mean inhabited by somebody else, right? A pillar is not inhabited by anybody, obviously. And therefore, Rami Bar Chama's question would make a great deal of sense. Maybe that's what he's talking about. Or, I mean, the other thing that we could ask is, I mean, who's to say that we're talking necessarily about a case where it's 10 tvachim by 4 tvachim? Maybe it's not. Maybe he's talking about something that was not the shear of a karmelis. And he wanted to know whether, if it was, I mean, not a shear of Rishus Hayachid, it was Rishus, it would still be a karmelis itself by being less than 10 tvachim high. I mean, I believe that the meaning over here of making fun of the question that we're making, we're sort of making fun over here and saying, what kind of dumb question is that? I think that the point that the Gemara is making is that without clarifying precisely what you're talking about, this is not the way to ask a question. And the Gemara indeed says that, well, you're right. Rami Bar Chama is a very bright guy, a little bit too bright sometimes for his own good. So he jumps to conclusions. And he, agav churpe, because he's so incredibly smart, lo ayein ba. He didn't think about, now, everybody thinks that means lo ayein ba, and therefore he phrased the question wrong. I don't think that's the point. I think the point is he did not take into consideration what people might have thought about the nature of his question, and they wouldn't be bright enough to immediately figure out, well, obviously I'm not talking about a Rishus Hayochid, idiots, so I'm talking about a Karmelis, either because it's close to the roof or because it's not 10 tvachim. I don't know, but I mean, what do you think, I'm crazy? So, okay, so he should have formulated the question better. I think that's the meaning of the Gemara. And therefore, what he really, the simple way to ask the question is very like this, very simple. What he was really asking, okay, let's imagine that you've got two amot on a roof, and then right next door to your roof, somebody has got a pergola, right? It's got like a portico that's built in the chotzer. Now, a pergola is different because even though it may be owned by somebody else, but it certainly is not inhabited by anybody else. Nobody lives in that pergola, correct? So if you don't live in the pergola, I'm asking you a very, very brilliant question, actually. I'm asking you whether the problem of carrying in one rishus from one karmelis to another karmelis, according to the Rabbanan, would actually be because somebody else owns it, or is it because somebody else lives there? Now, that's a very important question. You're telling me that there's a din of diurin. Okay, I understand there's a din of diurin, but the issue is, what exactly is diurin? Mi amrina kima de lo hai chazil adira, ve lo hai chazil adira. So should we say, look, basically, the idea over here is that even though they may be owned by different people, that's not the issue, because we don't have an area that is considered to be similar in terms of the use of adira. Now, there's a very subtle point over here, gentlemen. Because remember, if you're telling me the roof is not suited for dira, so then why is it usher for dira when there's two roofs next to each other? That doesn't seem to make sense what the Gemara is saying over here. What do you mean it's not for dira? So over there, the point over the original case is that if you have the same idea of the extension of a house going up to the roof on two adjacent houses with two adjacent roofs, where over there you have exactly the same level of usage on both of them, I understand that you can say that the rishus of the house goes up to the roof. Fine. But where you don't have that kind of thing, where over here one is a roof that is not really the roof of a house, it's the roof of an achsadra. So would I view the roof of an achsadra as being sufficiently defined as diurim acherim, the same way that the gog is diurim acherim? Now, remember that this means, again, that we are introducing gradations in the concept of diurim. We've seen already before that there's a lot of gradations that we need to take into consideration in the dinim of Erevin, and we're introducing a new one now. And that is assuming that diurim means the use of a property for residential purposes. Is there a scale about that use? I understand that the primary concept of residential usage is a home. I further understand that you want to tell me that we extend the home upward to the roof. Now, certainly you're not going to tell me that the level of residential use of a roof is the same as the residential use of a house. That's ridiculous. I understand that if you're talking about relative to each other, that these are the roof of two separate homes which have two separate diuri, fine, I can appreciate that, says Rami Bar Chama. But I'm asking you whether you'd be ready to extend that onto an area that isn't really used residentially at all in the same way that a house is. It's just the roof of a pergola. So would you say the same thing over there? Or am I making a big mistake? Is the issue perhaps ownership and not the utilization of usage that is diurin, residential usage? We've never really gotten to the bottom of this issue before. How exactly are diurin introduced by Chazal as a new concept, right? This is finally where we're getting to talk about. As I said, this parak gets to the core of what exactly the various gezeiras are that define for us the nature of the various rishuyas. So, therefore, I want to know, do we say that neither of these are really, neither of these are really chazi ladira, not the roof of the house, not the roof of the pergola. So basically, it's all one rishos. We're not going to introduce a diurin aspect. O Dilma, kiven de migag legagos here. Or since you're ready to tell me that a separately owned gag is usser, so maybe migag lach sadra nami usser, because basically they have different people that own them, not that much that they have different people living in them. Comes along Rav Bibi Bar Abaye, and he says, I got another question, which is very disturbing because his other question sounds like just like a smart alecky repetition of the question that was just asked by Rami Bar Chama. And he says, well, what would you say about two amos carrying from a gag onto two amos in a churva? Now, churva is also a karmelis. It's busted open to Rishu Sarabim. It is not used for living in. Seems to be about the same as the gag. So, ask the Gemara, Rav Kana says to him, I don't understand. Rami Bar Chama just asked that question. Aren't you asking the same idea about whether something that isn't being used for dira would be considered to be separate to urine vis-a-vis a roof? Now, that Rav Bibi Bar Abaye took that as a big insult. I said, what do you take me for? Some idiot that takes other people's questions and then just wants to show off asking it with some kind of variation? What am I, an idiot? What? I came to ask you somebody else's idea. Now I'm going to take it as if it's my own idea just to make trouble. Is that what you think? Why don't you pay attention to what I'm asking and you'll realize that obviously it's not the same question. Why do you ask me such a dumb thing? Aksadra lo chazi ladira. Churva is chazi ladira. I am asking you about a very different case. He's talking about the roof of a pergola. Tell me something. There's somebody that can live in a pergola. Can somebody live in a churva? Yeah, with some minor repairs, yes, somebody can live in a churva. Just close it off so it's not open to the Rishus Harabim, and that would be fine. I understand. I still don't understand what you're asking. So if you're telling me that it's Roy Ladira, so then of course it's Usser. Then it's the same as carrying from one guy's roof to another guy's roof. So make up your mind. Any way you cut it, baby, you're asking a dumb question. Either it's already been asked as Rami Bar Chama, or you're telling me you already know the answer. No. I'm asking you to be more subtle, as an im timtzer leimar. In other words, let's take Rami Bar Chama's question. And let's say that the answer to Rami Bar Chama is that you definitely need to have not ownership that's separated, but some level of residency. So let's assume that that would be your answer and that therefore you are allowed to carry from a gag onto the top of somebody else's pergola, right? I am still coming and asking you another question, because now you're going to have to distinguish between. Remember, his original question was gradations of residential usage, correct? Okay, so let's say you're going to tell me that maybe you're allowed to carry from one to the other, even if it's owned by other people, because it's not used as a residence. Not used by a residence is a binary issue. Not used by a residence is not used as a residence. I'm asking you about a churva. Now, there's a big difference between the top of a pergola and a churva, for heaven's sakes. So I'm asking, is it, in fact, a black and white issue? Either it is a dira or it's not a dira? Or are we talking about something that is ro'oi for a dira or less ro'oi for a dira? Now, you'd certainly agree with me that a churva is more chazi l'dira than a pergola is, right? That's what I'm asking you. So perhaps, im timtzulomar achsadra lo chazi l'dira, might you be willing to consider that the slightly more use of residential purposes for a churva is considered to be a dira? Or is the point actual residency, not usability for residency? So I'm introducing a new thing. You were questioning, when you listened to Rami Bar Chama, is it a matter of ownership or is it a matter of residency? And you thought it's all one simple question. Yeah, it's a matter of residency. I'm asking you, is it a matter of suitability for residency or is it a matter of actual residency? So what are you telling me? I'm asking you the same question. It's not even anything related to it, except as the Imtim Tzolomar. Oh, well, that's a good question. Teku, actually. I don't know the answer to that one. Okay, so we've got some additional factors over here that are not clear to us. So we don't know if the issue is ownership, if the issue is residency, if the issue is suitability for residency. All right. So now let's get back to the sugya that we had before. So we talked about according to the Chachamim. And according to the Chachamim, we've got areas that, according to Rav, are separate areas, not according to Shmuel, but according to Rav, there's no mechitzas. And because of that, each roof is considered to be porotz to a mokum that is aser la, to reshus that's aser la. And according to Rav, the question would be, are you allowed to carry outside of four amas? No, according to Shmuel, if there's mechitzas, you are. And according to Rabbi Meir, everything is one rishos. We don't take a look at the diurin at all, except that he introduces this new issue of whether it's 10 tefachim high or 10 tefachim low. Fine. So let's forget about the 10 tefachim high, 10 tefachim low. Let's talk about even roofs, okay? So you've got gagin that are shavin according to Rabbi Meir. Now, gagin that are shavin according to Rabbi Meir are the same as a single gag, meaning a single home gag. So what we're talking about over here, according to Rabbi Meir, an apartment house gag. According to Chachamim, a single unit home, gag, which have the same din. So what would be the halacha here? And now we come up with something that's mind-bogglingly nutty. All of a sudden, Rav and Shmuel invert their shitas, which makes absolutely no sense. All of a sudden, Rav says that in that case, you can carry on the entire area. And Shmuel says, no, in that case, you can't carry outside of Arba Amas. That doesn't make any sense. Why in the world can't you carry outside of Arba Amas if you're talking about a single home roof? What in the world? So let's first figure out what Rav is saying. In this case, Rav says, Mutar l'taltal b'kulo. So didn't Rav say before that you're usher to be metaltal outside of Arba Amas? So that seems to be that we're assuming over here that this is based on the good asik problem. Because even though we did say before that according to Rav, if it's mechitzot that are nikarot, that there would be no problem of carrying. It's only because you have a makom that is porotz, and over here you don't have a makom that is porotz. However, the case that we're talking about over here is, says Tosfos, that the edges, the Gemara assumed that the edges of the roof extend beyond the actual walls of the building. In which case, according to Rav, it should be mechitzot that are not nikarot, in which case we should view the roof as being open to the Rishos HaRabim that is around it, and therefore it should be usur. That was what the Gemara was thinking. Okay, there are other approaches. That's how Rashi understands it. So the Gemara gives the obvious answer that, well, of course, over there we were talking about mechitzos that were not nikarot because we had different units underneath, and he didn't hold of good asik. And over here, we do say good asik. We're talking about that if you're standing on the roof, you look down at the edge, you could see the wall. And therefore, hacha minkara mechitzata, therefore there's good asik. That's very obvious, right? But what about according to Shmuel? Why would Shmuel say that you're not allowed to be metaltel arba amas when it's a single roof, when Shmuel was ready to say you're allowed to be metaltel as far as you want because of the mechitzas that come up around the side, even if it's a multiple roof? That doesn't make any sense. Kasha de Shmuel or Shmuel. Shmuel before said you're allowed to carry on every single one of the roofs. Now he seems to be saying you're not even allowed to carry based on the good asik around the whole thing. How does that make sense? Well, makes very perfectly good sense. You just have to change the case. The case that we're talking about over here is that we're talking about more than Beit Sataim. Now, I mean, if you have an area that is more than Beit Sataim, so then you're not allowed to carry in it. That's a separate issue, right? I mean, forget about whether you consider it to be extended or not, but it certainly doesn't have mechitzas around it that are mukaf ledira. Now, this is what Shmuel believes, okay? Let us consider what good asik means. And it turns out that we have a fantastic argument over here between Rav and Shmuel, really brilliant argument. The mechitzas that were built for the house are obviously mechitzas that are built for dira, correct? So then that means that those mechitzas are the ultimate in hukaf ledira. They are the mechitzas of a home. Now, when we're going to extend the mechitzas upwards, is somebody going to tell you that the roof is meant for residential purposes? Of course not. That's not called mukaf ledira because nobody lives up on the roof. The question, however, is, if you're talking about good asik, aren't we talking about good asik of the same mechitzas? So those mechitzas that were built entirely for the purpose of diur are the mechitzas around the roof. What do you mean? But they're invisible. I don't see them. That doesn't matter. The din of good asik is not simply to give it a din of mechitzas. The din of good asik is to lift up the existing mechitzas, Taina's Rav. And if you're lifting up the existing mechitzas, then by definition you have mechitzas that are ledira, in which case you have to say that the gag was mukaf ledira. Whereas Shmuel says, now hold on a second, buddy. All that good asik tells you is that there are mechitzas. The taking up those mechitzas, was the taking up for the purposes of dira? No. That's the point. So the good asik itself was not for purposes of dira. It was for purposes of using the roof. Brilliant machlokas. Do we look at the good asik as the construction of the mechitzas around the roof? Or is the good asik simply a description of the fact that there are mechitzas around the roof? So this is the machlokas. According to Shmuel, the reason that you cannot be metaltel is because they're not, it's yoter mibeit sataim. Bashenkin over here, hocha havi yoter mibeit sataim. And even though the mechitzas on the lower story were made for diur, they were not made for diur of the roof, they were made for diur in the house. So hadi mechitzot lemata avidin, lemala lo avidin. And therefore, we have to give the roof the exact same status that we give a karfaf, which is yoter mibeit sataim, which is not hukaf ledira, and therefore, ein betatim bo ela barba. Ha! Says Shmuel. So it turns out that part of the complex machlokasin that we have about how to view the issue of the good asik, which we thought was just sort of a question of whether it needs to be visible externally or not, or it could be a mechitza that's nidreset and so on. There's another very profound question in which does it also define the nature of the mechitzas? Okay, wow, that's beautiful. Now you should know that there's another machlokas that has to do with the question of the nature of mechitzas between Rav and Shmuel, and that is, what about a boat? So, what about if it's a big boat, right? It's more than Beit Satay. So we have a Svina, and it's a good-sized ship, cruise ship. Rav says, well, what's the problem? you can carry in the entire ship because it's mukaf ladira. I mean, it's meant to be a cruise. Shmuel says, no, you can't carry in it. Only arba ames. Rav says, muta latalta bakula. There's mechitzas. Look, right there. I mean, obviously there's mechitzas. You're not drowning, are you? And therefore, the usage of it is for residential purposes. Shmuel says, Those are not mechitzos. Because just like I said before, the mechitzas that you're talking about over here, you're talking about the technicality of the mechitza. What is the purpose of the mechitza? The mechitza that is around the roof that has been created out of good asik, we said, but that's not for dira, even though the mechitzas were created for dira on the bottom floor. Well, when you built the mechitzas around the boat, let me ask you something. Fundamentally, is a boat not a boat because it has mechitzas to keep water out? So isn't that the purpose of the mechitzas? I mean, you certainly cannot tell me, no, we're perfectly okay without the mechitzas to keep the water out. We're doing fine right here in the middle of the ocean. We just want mechitzas so that we can have a place to walk around in our cruise ship. That's ridiculous, says Shmuel. The point of the mechitzas is fundamentally to keep water out and not to be a residential area. And therefore, it's only a secondary fact that people are using it as a cruise ship, but first you got to build the boat, right? So when you're building the boat, you're building it to keep out the water. And therefore, mechitzot lavriach mayim asuyot, and not to create a diur. It's not fundamentally there for residential purposes. And if I decide to use this as a delivery vessel and stack up a bunch of automobiles in it, it still needs those mechitzas to keep the water out. It has nothing to do with residential usage. Amar Rav Chiya bar Yosef l'Shmuel. So, halacha l'maisa. I mean, you're telling me I can't walk around in a cruise ship? Is the halacha like you or is the halacha like Rav? Now, I got to tell you the truth. The halacha is like Rav, says Shmuel. And you really are allowed to carry around in a cruise ship. So I realize that he's really right in this. Now, Omar Rav Gidl, Omar Rav Chiya bar Yosef, listen. Even Rav is moda that if you turn the ship upside down, don't do this in the water now. If you turn the ship upside down and now you're living on the bottom of the ship, then you can't carry on the hull of the ship, which is now the roof. Because that's not considered to be mukaf ladira. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Ask the Gemara, wait a minute. Why did you turn the ship upside down? I mean, if you turn it upside down because you're trying to build a house on the cheap, you know, so you buy this old ship, turn it upside down, now you've got a house. So I understand. I thought Rav says that if you have a house, and you have it's a single-use house, and you have a roof on top of the house, Rav says you're allowed to carry. So why now, just because you made your house out of a ship, you're not allowed to carry? That doesn't make any sense. You still have good asik coming up the bottom of the boat, which is now the roof. Therefore, we're clearly talking about you turn the ship upside down in order to waterproof it. It was in dry dock. So they turned it upside down to make it easier to get to the hull, right? So now you're going to put tar over it. Kifa'a lizovta. Oh, so then for sure. Then that means that the walls of the new house were not made at all for anybody to live in. They were simply made to be available to put tar on. And therefore, Rav is made, and then in that case, it's not considered to be mukaf ladira. Anyway, not everybody agrees that the way that we just read that whole thing about when they asked Shmuel, is the halacha like you or like Rav? We said before that it was asked in terms of the boat. However, not everybody agrees that Rav Ashi said that when Shmuel said, look, I got to admit the halacha is like Rav, that it was referring to the case of the Svina that was more than two saw. But actually, Rav Achabere de Rava says, no, it's about a whole other sugya, a sugya that we've discussed before. And that is what the din is about an aksadra bibik'a. Now, an aksadra bibik'a means that it's open on all sides. It's in the middle of a valley. It is not an extension of a house, which is normally what an aksadra is. And there's a big difference between an aksadra bibik'a, according to Shmuel, and an aksadra, which is just a patio. And the difference is that if one of the walls of the Aksadra is a home, then we can apply the concept of Pi Tikra Yored V'Sotem. Because then the roof of the Aksadra, or the wooden edges of the Aksadra, are seen as an extension of the roof of the house. And because of that, the Aksadra Babika has walls. Where are the walls? Pi Tikra Yored V'Sotem. Remember that? As long as you have a flat edge of a roof, and you have, according to Shmuel, one wall that's part of the house, then you can say Pi Tikra Yored V'Sotem on the other walls, and that area is Erishus HaYachid. But Rav disagrees. Rav says you don't need one wall. So according to him, even if the Aksadra is in the middle of a Bikah, so it's in the middle of this valley, Rav Amar Mutar L'Taltel B'Kula because of Pi Tikra Yored V'Sotem, V'Shmuel Amar, no, it's got a din of an open Carmelite, the same way that the valley is open. Ein Metatlin Ba'ela B'Arba, Rav Amar Mutar L'Taltel B'Kula because Amrinan Pi Tikra Yored V'Sotem is Halakha L'Moshe Mi'Sinai, and we have a Tikra, so even though there's no walls, there is at least as a Tikra, V'Shmuel Amar. You have to first establish a tikra before you can apply the din of Pi Tikra Yored V'Sotem. And I don't see any kind of roof here until there is a wall somewhere that then this roof's in the other part of it. And therefore, Lo Armina Pi Tikra Yored V'Sotem. And according to Rav Acha, this is a tangential mention of a sugya that's not Nogea, our sugya. And we got mixed up, according to him, and we thought we were asking Shmuel what the din is about the boat. Okay, so now let's get back to our main sugya. Our main sugya was the question of whether, if you do have a roof that is more than Beit Sa'atayim, so this would be true either on a single home use, according to the Chachamim, or even if it's multiple apartments underneath, according to Rabbi Meir, it's the same thing as a single use, a single building, according to the Chachamim, right? So Rav held, there's no problem, you're allowed to carry because it's considered to be a karfaf mukaf ladira. And Shmuel says, no, it's like a karmelis because it is a mukaf ladira, because the fact that the good asik mechitza still doesn't mean that just because the lower story was ladira, that necessarily means that the upper story is ladira, because when I pulled up those machitzas virtually, I did not pull them up for dira. Now, let me just ask you something. We're going to see later on that you are allowed, according to the way that Rabbi Meir understands things, you're really allowed to carry from Gagim that are one level. According to him, you do not have a problem of Carmelit, and therefore, why can't you carry, and we'll see later on that Rabbi Meir says very clearly you cannot, we already know the answer to this, of course, why can't you carry from the roof into your chatzar? Since they're basically the same halacha, right? Because according to Rabbi Meir, there's no diurin, right? He says that there's not a problem over here of the fact that you've got separate people. So then that means he's not giving it a din of a karmelis. Is a chotzer a karmelis? No. Chotzer is also not a karmelis. So why does Rabbi Meir say I can't carry from a gag to a chotzer? Well, we know the answer to that. The answer is, of course, that we already know about the gezeira of Rav, that as long as you are worried about a tail, Birshus HaRabim, you can't carry on different levels. And therefore, the answer is very simple. It's Mishum de Rav Yitzchak Bar Avodimi. Remember, it was Rav Yitzchak Bar Avodimi who explained that whole issue of the question of different heights. Now, Rashi makes it very clear over here in a very beautiful way, and I think it's important for us to think about why we limited the question the way we did, because that will clarify to us completely. Why are we only asking according to Rabbi Meir? Why aren't we asking the Rabbanan hold a single gag? Why can't I go and carry from that gag to the chotzer? Well, the answer is you can. You absolutely can. We're going to see very soon that it follows logically that if you do not hold of the Gezerah of Rebbe Meir, then the din that you would apply to Agag, which is a din of only semi-diur, you would apply to a chotzer as well. And therefore, later on, we're going to find out that the Chachamim are moda to Rebbe Shimon, that you can carry from a gag to a chotzer. And that's why we're only asking Aliba, the Rebbe Meir. Now, as far as Shmuel is concerned, it's obvious why you can't ask this question. What are you going to ask according to Shmuel? Why would Rebbe Meir say that you cannot carry from a gag to a chotzer? What's the din of the gag according to Shmuel? It's a Carmelis. So, okay, obviously I can't carry from a Carmelis to a chotzer, but a chotzer has a complete din of Rishus Hayachid. Fine. So the only question that remains, of course, would be the idea of the mechitzas that he holds that are inside and that are breaking things up. We need to understand that that halacha does not mean that we have separate gagot according to Shmuel. So this is something we'll talk about in a moment. So that's one issue. Now let's raise the next issue. The next issue would be, according to, if we're asking now, let's again, our first question was, why can't we carry directly according to Rebbe Meir? That's a Gezerah. According to the Rabbanan, the way that Shmuel understands the Rabbanan, and that would mean either, remember, we had Shmuel saying on a single house use, the deal would be that if it's Yoter mi Beit Sa'atayim, then the halacha is it's not called Mukaf Ladira. So this would be Shmuel's Shita. Either according to the Chachamim, on a single roof that is more than a Beit Sa'atayim, the halacha was, it's a Carmelite. And what would be the din, therefore, according to Shmuel, Aliba d'Rabbanan, why can't you carry from, if you're allowed to carry, from a gag to a chotzer, if it's less than Beit Sa'atayim, why can't you carry from a gag to a karfaf? Why exactly would there be any difference at all between the two cases? If you've got in a case of something that's a Carmelite, and you would have, let's say, two amas from a Carmelite that was more than Beit Sa'atayim to within two amas into a karfaf, which has the same din as a Carmelite. Yet, for some reason, the Rabbanan say you absolutely cannot carry into a karfaf, even though you can carry from a gag into a chotzer. How do you explain the difference, according to Shmuel, if they both would have the same din as a guy? I understand I can't go outside of Arba, but why can't I carry two and two, according to Shmuel? So I should be allowed to carry migag lekarfaf. Omar Rava Barula, theoretically, you could. And the only reason that you can't is because we're worried that gezera shema yipachet hagag. What would happen if it would turn out in the end to become less than Beit Sa'atayim, and now that would mean that the whole edge, one agaf of the house collapsed, which would make the gag less than a Beit Sa'atayim, and now we would have carrying from a real Rishus Hayochid, because it's less than a Beit Sa'atayim, into a Karfaf, which is Yosri Beit Sa'atayim. And since, as Rashi points out, without any reference points, it's very difficult for you to estimate area. If you would be standing on this roof, you wouldn't have any kind of reference points because you never did. You wouldn't really note that the house has now changed into Rishus Hayochid on the Rugag. And because of that, we need to make sure that that wouldn't happen. So says the Gemara, so why would that not be every case of one Karfaf to another Karfaf? Yachi mi Karfaf, Karfaf, Nami lo yetaltil, Dilma mivchit ve'osi letaltule. So even if it would be on the ground of a karfaf, yoter mi Beit Sa'atayim, I mean, maybe something will collapse and now there will be an area that's less. So why is that okay? Because over there, says the Gemara, you would have a reference point. So over there, imifchet minkra milta, because you're on ground level, you can see exactly where the karfaf is. But hacha, where you're on a roof, imifchet lo minkra milta. Now, we finally get to the analysis of all of the shitas. And as Rav Yehuda puts it, if you look into this carefully, you will see that there's no escaping the following understanding of the three shitas that we have. If you look into it carefully, you will see that according to Rabbi Meir, Gagin are a reshut la'atzman, Chatzerot are a reshut la'atzman, and Karfefot are a reshut la'atzman. So you're allowed to carry from one person's gag to another person's gag, from one person's chatzer to another person's chatzer. Again, obviously not kelim that were in the house, but kelim that were out in a chatzer, you can carry into another chatzer, and kelim that were in a karfaf, the karfefot, reshut l'atzma. That's Rabbi Meir Shita, and we're going to see that very clearly as we go along. According to the Chachomim, we're going to see that Gagin and Chatzeros are also one type of reshus, and they are both the kind of thing that you will use, not as real residential use, but to play a game of ball. In your chatzah, you'll play a game of ball. You'll make a picnic. On your roof, you'll play a game of ball. You'll make a picnic. You'll go sunbathing in one and in the other, but it's not real diur. So according to them, it's all considered to be the same type of reshut. However, the Chachomim say karfefot are not considered to be the same kind of reshut. According to Rabbi Shimon, all of the reshuyos are the same. Chatzeros, gagin, karfefos, and we'll see that this includes also mevoos and pergolot and so on and so forth. They're all considered to be exactly the same because they are all imaginary rishos harabims, and they're all treated exactly the same way. And in fact, we have Tanya Kavasid Rav and Tanya Kavasid Reb Yehuda on this. We have actual brises that are going to prove what Rav says, that according to the Chachomim, you do not have a right to carry outside of Arba Amos. And we're going to prove what Rabbi Yehuda says, that according to Rabbi Shimon, the correct way to understand Rabbi Shimon Shita is that all various semi-reshuyas are one. Not that each one is one to itself. No. Tanya Kavasi to Rav. Okay, first let's take a look at what Rav said. He said, remember, that you're not allowed to carry on the actual gag outside of four amas. So go gagota yerushut achatein the asur la'alot lorid min hagagin lechatzer. So you would not be allowed, it says here, to carry something from a gag into a chatzer or from a chatzer to a gag. The kelim sheshavtu bechatzer mutar letatalan bechatzer. You are allowed to move. Even if you don't have an Erev, you're allowed to move anything in the Chatzer as long as it was in the Chatzer before. And if you have something that was on the roof, you're allowed to move it on all the roofs, even from one roof to another roof, as long, since we're talking, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir, as long as you don't have one roof, 10 tfachim, either higher or lower than the other. All of this is Rabbi Meir. And this is fine because this is how we've recognized Rabbi Meir all along. So now we know that according to Rabbi Meir, chatzer to chatzer is fine. Gag to gag is fine. Different levels of gagot are not fine. That's because of the gzera of Tel Berushas Harabim. But the Chachomim say, no, it's not fine. Because if it's owned by different people, then kol echad v'echad is a reshus la'atzmo, which means what? Ein metaltin lo ela barba. Uh-oh. It says over here clearly like Rav, namely that if they are open one to another, it's considered to be reshus that is poritz to a reshus that's osrla, and you're not allowed to carry unless you keep it to four amos. That's exactly what Rav said, and it's considered to be a carmelit. Then we also have a brighter like Rav Yehuda, namely that alibet Rabbi Shimon, everything is one reshus. And what is that? Tanya Kavasid Rav Yehuda, Omar Rebbe, I could tell you halacha lemaisa, when we were learning in the yeshiva with Rabbi Shimon in Tekoa, we would actually be somech on this halacha lemaisa, and we would carry there were we needed to get stuff out to the mikveh, we would carry oil and towels from one roof to another roof, from one roof down, then we'd take it down to the chutzer, we'd move it from one chutzer to the other chutzer, then we brought it through somebody's backyard in a karfaf, then we went through a bunch of backyards, and finally we got to the place where we had the mayan that we used to wash. And remember, you're allowed to wash in cold water, and that would mean that he says beferish gag chotzer karfaf, all the same rishus. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, and the brisa continues that it happens that there was a zman of sakana when it was osur to be koyre the Torah. So we used to hide, bring the sefer Torah from a place that would, from a Beit HaKnesset. We weren't able to read there because they would have informers that would keep a check on it. The police would look. So we would carry the Sefer Torah from a chotzer to a gag, from a gag to a chotzer, from a chotzer to a karfaf, so that we would be able to do Kriyas HaTorah in some kind of secret assembly point. And you see from there that it's all one rishus. Amru lo, so the Chachamim said to him, that's not true. This is the Chachamim that disagree with Rabbi Shimon. Ein sha'ata sakana raya, you can't bring a raya, because it could be that the Chachamim were maker b'shas ha'sakana, that we shouldn't forget about Kriyas HaTorah. And then Rabbi Shimon Omer, Echad Gagin, Echad Chatzerais, Echad Karfefim, are all considered to be, the Lashon of the Mishnah is, they're all Rishus Achas, four things that were left in them before Shabbos. Says Rav, we paskin like that, but not so fast. We paskin like that if you don't have to worry about possibly having things that were in the house before Shabbos now being brought out to the chutzer. So if they did not make an Erev in the chutzer, fine. Then there's no way that things are going to be there from the house, right? So there we paskin like Rabbi Shimon. You can carry anything that you want from one chutzer to another chutzer. That's great. But if they did make their own Erev, then you can't, because Gazrina Dimati Lafukimani Dabatim L'chatzer. Then we have to worry that you're going to be carrying out from things that were originally in the house. You brought them outside. You made a picnic, left up outside, forgot that it was originally in the house. Somebody's going to carry it from one chatzer to the other chatzer. Then it's going to mean that you're going to be carrying out of the Erev. Where Shmuel says, what's the difference? Bein irvu, bein shelo irvu. I mean, Rabbi Shimon says it's all one thing, right? So obviously you have to keep in mind what thing you are allowed to move and what thing you're not allowed to move. V'keinom Rabbi Yochanan, what's the difference? Milach shecha. A malach came, Rav, and whispered in your ear and said, psst, psst, psst. Rabbi Shimon didn't mean, of course, when there was an air. It's ridiculous. Who told you there's a difference? Rabbi Shimon gave a psak. It's all considered to be the same rishus. You're coming up with a new halacha that it makes an afkamina if there's an eruv. Says Rav Chista, I don't understand. Of course it makes an afkamina. What's more, Rabbi Yochanan saying? It doesn't make an afkamina. You have two things. You've got one bottle of Coke on a table, and you want one bottle of Pepsi on a table. The bottle of Pepsi was in the house before Shabbos. You brought it out to the picnic, and the bottle of Coke happened to be in a pile of Coke bottles that you had stored outside in the chutzah. So now people are going to say, so you're not allowed to carry the Pepsi? You're only allowed to carry Coke? What, are you guys being paid off or something? I mean, isn't that crazy? Yom Rushnei Kelim b'chutzah echad zemutar v'zeh asur. Why is one mutter one us? They don't understand the nafkamina. They don't know what's in the house before Shabbos. It makes a lot of sense to say what Rav is saying. You can't have a situation where in the same chutzer, a bottle of Coke is mutter and a bottle of Pepsi is usher. Answers the Gemara, what's the problem? We know that Rabbi Shimon does not care about those kind of problems. How? Remember, Rabbi Shimon, in the case where you had an overlap in the middle, remember, you had chutzer A, B, and C. A and B and C and B were eruved, but A and C were not. So you were not allowed to carry anything from A to C, but he said you could still carry from A to B and from C to B. And we're not worried that you're going to end up transferring in the end. Why not? It's the same as the Pepsi and the Coke. So obviously Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold about that problem, right? He muterot imahem, hein muterot imah, shtei achitzonot, asurim zim zu. So A and C are usur, and it didn't bother him. It wasn't worried you're going to end up taking the things that were in the middle that had come from C and somebody's going to carry from B to A, not realizing that originally it wasn't C. It's the same thing over here. It's exactly the same situation. So then how do you understand the lashon of the Mishnah? Rabbi Shimon Omer, Echad Gagot, Echad Chatzirot, Echad Karfefot, or Rishut Achaten Lekelem Sheshoftu Betocham, Velo Lekelem Sheshoftu Betoch HaBayit. What is that supposed to mean, Kelem Sheshoftu Betoch HaBayit? If there's no Erev, there wouldn't be any Kelem Sheshoftu Betoch HaBayit in the Chatzir. So just read the Mishnah and you see that Rav doesn't make any sense. Obviously, Rabbi Shimon is talking about a case where there was an Erev. And he's saying, look, you got to be careful. If there's things there that were brought out from the house, how could they be brought out because of the Eruv? Don't carry those things. Carry the other things. What else is the Mishnah talking about? So, Yamit Bishlama de Eruvu, that makes sense. So you're talking about there are things that were in the house that are now in the Chatzar. If you're going to tell me they never made an Eruv, then there wouldn't be such things. Hey, Chamesh Kachas Lamani Labatim B'Chatzar. But Rav Sheshes thought he had a really brilliant question, but then he realized that's a pretty dumb question, actually. Because, I mean, imagine a case like this. A guy gets dressed, puts on his suit, his coat, and then he sits down for a picnic, and boy, did it get hot in the chutzner. So he takes off his coat, and now he leaves his coat and his hat standing by the picnic table. Okay, are there now things that were carried out of the house in the chutzner? Yes. Was there a problem of carrying them out without an Erev? No, of course not. He wore them out, right? He was wearing them, so he came to sit down on the picnic table that was in the chutzner before. So it's certainly possible to have things that were in the house, and they're in the chutzner, even without an Erev. And maybe that's what Rav Shimon was saying, as long as you don't take things that were originally in the house, meaning don't carry your hat. You'd have to put your hat back on. That's all he's saying. Okay, Rabbosai. So we're going to continue a little bit. We'll have a chance to review these ideas tomorrow because we're going to continue more details of them. But as you can see, it's actually, we've got three different shittas over here that we're going to make more clear about how to define and what exactly the issues are in the definitions. It's a very subtle and therefore very exciting kind of sugya, all to be, Bezrat Hashem, finished up in the morning. I leave you with a wish for a Hinei El Yeshua Siyaf Takfalo Evchad. There's an awful lot to be afraid of this week. But we can still hope, Bezrat Hashem, to hear Bisurot Tovot, and the world might still go on. See you all.